Lamentations chapter 5. Now, while you're turning there, just a couple of things in view of the kind of message. I'll tell you, I have struggled with this, Brother Page, and I just got to unload. I've struggled with this thing. And a couple of things. First of all, there are a lot of what I call my little friends in the church, like Philip and Aaron and Joshua and Andrew and Ronnie and just a lot of these children here, Jordan. They're my friends. I love these children. And one thing that I consciously try to do is to keep as much of the message on their level as I can so they will understand it. You imagine a child going to church for 5 years and he's bored stiff at every service. You can imagine that. No wonder some are turned off. Now, I've tried to do that. However, boys and girls, Papa wants to tell you something. The message that I'm going to bring this morning, you won't understand any of it, or if you do, it'll just be a little of it. But you have your parents with you, or your guardian, or grandmother, or grandfather, or auntie, or uncle, whoever, and maybe they can do some explaining when you get home or on your way home. And for our visitors, I want to inform you that this is not something I've never preached. I've never dealt with this in my life. The nearest that I came to it, I was invited to do so at Calvary Baptist Church in Kingston when they called in the mayor of the town, the police chief, the highway patrol, and all the usual run of politicians. And I was asked to address these men. And so for our little friends, you won't understand it, so you please forgive Papa Andrew and Ronnie and Joshua. You bear with Papa, and maybe Mom and Dad can help you with it. For our visitors, this is a one-time run for me. I am compelled to deal with this thing, and I'm going to deal with it. If you feel an inclination to get up and walk out, maybe a little self-discipline would help, and hear me through to the end. And then if you disagree with what I've said, you come and see me and talk to me about it. I'd rather, you know, anybody can get up and walk out. We saw a classic example of that in the ball game the other night. Somebody demonstrating just how undisciplined and how weak they are as a Christian in a position of leadership. And so, please do that. Now, next thing, get a pen and paper, everybody that can, real quickly in this service. Get a pen and paper. All right? I want you to do some writing. A pen and paper. If you don't have a piece of paper, write on your hand. You won't lose it there unless you take 40 baths. All right, a pen and paper, and I want you to write down some things for me. Oh, boy, time is already about gone, and I haven't even got the car started yet. All right, get a pen and paper. Here's what I want you to write down. Now, you who don't write it down, when I'm through, you're going to wish you had. All right, I want you to write down these three words, hate, crime, laws. Three words, hate, you know what that is, crime, you know what that is, and laws, you know what they are. Hate, crime, laws. All right, you got it? And then beside that, write Senate, you know what that is, write Senate Bill, B-I-L-L, 2-8. Senate Bill 2-8. Now, you're going to wish you'd written it down. Hate crime law, Senate Bill 2-8. And then here's a toll-free number, and you talk to a machine, not a person, so that ought to really boost your courage. Hate crime law, Senate Bill 2-8, and write down this toll-free number, 1-800-372-372. 7181. One more time, write it down. Hate crime laws, Senate Bill 2-8. Toll free number 1-800-372-7181. All right, you have that written down. You'll want that. You who didn't write it, maybe somebody might let you copy it when the meeting's over. Let's read in Lamentations chapter 5. And verse 16 and 17. Chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. Here's what it says. The crown is fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned. For this, or because of our sin, our heart is faint. For these things, our sin, our eyes are dim, or we cannot see right. Woe unto us that we have sinned, our crown is fallen. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, Farewell America, Almost. A hideous monster has appeared in the American political arena, and it's not the first time either. A few years ago, the political systems in this country on federal, state, and local levels began to straddle the backs of the American people and their constituents with the most frightening piece of legislation that has ever been heard of in the history of this country. And that legislation is already laws in several places. With that little introduction that will bore you stiff, unless you want to get bored stiff, I want to speak to you about this subject today. This piece of legislation, it is presently on the books in California and Illinois, enforced by law. Some pieces are presently on the books in 38 states, and a few pieces in good old Kentucky. The Kentucky State Assembly, as some of you may accidentally have discovered, the Kentucky State Assembly is presently in session, and when it ends in about 7 more weeks, these men and women are going to decide the fate of this state and of me and you regarding this hideous piece of legislation. Now, I know it's not going to affect me. Well, let's see. We'll talk about it in a moment. Now, if I've got it underlined in text note twice, if you are a genuine saved Christian, a conservative Christian, and you have a firm persuasion that the Bible is the trustworthy, infallible, dependable revelation from God to us as Christians and to others when they're saved, if they are, if you have that persuasion that the Bible teaches us what to do and what not to do on all major issues and many lesser issues. Now I know some of you are not under this persuasion, but if you are under that persuasion, then you have hanging over your head the strongest possibility of arrest, fines, and prison, if you're that persuasion. If you're a backboneless, spineless, back-scratching, pussy-footing jellyfish, this would be just a political address, which is not anyhow. This is a real fact and not a fancy fiction. Now, the big question, well, Mr. Pike, what on earth is this piece of legislation they'll decide on at the end of 7-week period that's going to affect us as you have so extremely and radically portrayed? Listen carefully. This thing parades itself under the guise of the words you put on your paper, hate crime laws. Well, let's do this. Let me go back and show you where and when this beast slithered out of his pit. Now, the real origin for this thing that has developed up to what it is now, the historical origin of this, came out of the Oklahoma City bombings in April 1995. Everybody knows about that. That's the origin of it. Now, the perpetrators of that premeditated wholesale slaughter should all be rounded up, tried, and given the death sentence. Period. All right, I'll make that clear. Now, I'm speaking for myself. However, there's another side. Out of that horrible tragedy came another horrible tragedy that's looming over me and you today as the kind of Christians I described. Immediately after the Oklahoma City bombing in April 1995, immediately afterwards, the American government, the Justice Department, the mass media, and others launched a giant nationwide propaganda blitz. And they all begin to present those murderers who did that dastardly deed. They begin to present those murderers and what they did as a hate crime act. Listen, TV, radio talk, I don't know how many talk shows I heard about. We came in on furlough. TV, radio talk shows, Barbara Walters, excuse me for polluting the airwaves, Barbara Walters, Brian Gumbel, and those type denounced these as faceless hate crimes, and I can agree with them. It was a faceless hate crime committed. However, something went wrong. Over the course of time, investigators and security and federal agents, over the course of time, they proved beyond anybody's doubt, they proved that a radical anti-government, anti-Jew, anti-black, and anti-white, if you disagree with them, organization, all proudly flashing the trappings of Adolf Hitler, complete with black shirts, gray shirts, brown shirts, and white shirts, and inverted swastikas, and revised Nazi salutes. Here's why they start walking out. It has been proven that this type were the killers of the Oklahoma bombing. That's been, whether you like it or not, it was proven. I made it my business to watch I don't know how many hours of documentaries regarding this group and these groups. And I can tell you one thing about Timothy McVeigh and all of them, whether you like it or not. They're all demon-possessed and going to hell.
Yes, sir.
Period. Now, all there, the crowd that did this, and their para-organizations, all their nice talk about God and Jesus, the Bible, the family, the youth, America, our freedoms, all of it, the organizations that do this, all they talk about is God and the Bible and Christ and the blood of Christ and heaven and my family and my country and my flag, all of that talk is the satanic camouflage put out as bait to attract and trap other innocent people who are just as fed up with the government as we are. And I'm going to tell you, these neo-Nazis have trapped hundreds of beautiful young people who don't stand a chance under the system, these neo-Nancies with this God, Jesus, Bible, country, family image, they have suckered in thousands of young families, and these families become demon-possessed as their mentors are. Now, here's where the problem starts for me as a Christian. Because the masterminds of the Oklahoma mass murderers in April 95, happened to be a group that advertised themselves as conservative, Bible-believing. I heard Timothy McVeigh say, "I'm a conservative Christian and believe the Bible." Because they all, when they're before television, a documentary, they say, "We're conservative, Bible-believing Christians, we're patriotic Americans, we believe in God and home and country and people, and we'll fight to save our American heritage." People who believe the Bible,
People who say they are concise Christians, it is right here the problem starts for us who are really that. Right here. Now you better listen. When the liberal, anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Bible majority in the American government now, and the State Department and the Justice Department, and especially the White House, along with the humanistic, socialistic, left-wing mass media, when they found out how these murderers presented themselves, they found the tool they needed, the hate tool, to attack true Christians who don't do these dastardly deeds. They found the tool they needed. And here's where our problem starts. Right here. Here's a quotation. "We have found indisputable proof that these right-wing conservative Christians are all in reality our enemies, and we must deal with them. Just look what they did in Oklahoma City." Now, if the devil turns the lights out, you bring me a candle or a flashlight, I'm going to finish this if the bottom blows out of hell. All right? So if the light goes out, go get me a torch, flashlight, out of the car. I'm going to finish this one. All right? So here's what they said. "We now have proof of the secret intentions of these Bible-believing conservative Christians who are always having a family camp, a family union, family this, family that, and they say they love God and they love the country and they want freedom. Now we really know what they are. They are like Timothy McVeigh and the murderers in Oklahoma." Now here's what this is called. This is called collective guilt. My 17 years in South Africa, this is called paint them all with the same brush. Or this is called, if some are bad, all must be same bad. It's true, the killers at Oklahoma City committed a hate crime. That's a good name for it. I have no problem with that. They said they hated the government so bad they did this deed. But I don't like the government. I wouldn't use the word hate, but I sure wouldn't do a deed like that. I was sort of having a bit of a conflict with a man down in Greenville last time I went down there, and he was talking about a certain cult that knocks on everybody's door, and all they do is propagate a blasphemous lie. Now, this is a hate crime law I'm committing. I'm breaking that law right now. And this man said, "What do you think about it?" I said, "I don't agree with them. I'll fight them to the very hilt, but I said if they stood them against the wall and shot them, I'd say, don't shoot them, it's wrong, I'll stand with them." I'm made that way. I spent too many years in South Africa under death threats and the windows broken out and having to flee under bomb scares. Look, buddy, with some of you, I done been there and done that, did that, whatever. The Oklahoma City gang committed a hate crime, Walt. There's no doubt about it. They hate the government so bad they did this to, well, a shrink would say, release their frustrations. Thus, this country was bombarded by the media and all these jerks on your television and brainwashed, and some of you are here today. You were brainwashed to believe that because the Oklahoma City bombers said they were Christians and conservative and believed the Bible and were following God. Some of you sitting here today listening to this tape are so brainwashed that you believe this lie is true for everybody. Now, here's the conclusion. The crooks and liars and thieves who basically run our government said, "We must legislate and put in the books laws to stop hate crimes, and they must be put in place and enforced at federal, state, and local levels, and we're going to name them hate crime laws." Uh-oh. Thank you, honey. That's a good amen. I can't get it out of father or mother. My little boy used to say that at the wrong time. Let me explain how the hate crime law works since you are not affected. I mean, if you live for the devil, you won't be affected. I mean, now, number one, I want to show you broadly. Now, the hate crime law, I spoke to Senator Elizabeth Torrey for about 30 minutes yesterday, and she phoned me back 3 times afterwards. You ever phone him and talk to him? Now, broadly, a hate crime law can be defined as anything that disagrees with a government policy and action, broadly. The federal government, state government, local government policy, if you disagree and disagree fierce enough, you can be struck guilty under breaking the hate crime law. That's broadly. I'm not interested. I want to get specifically with you. Specifically, that's up there where I live. All right? Specifically, on spot on, as the Aussies say, a hate crime law can be committed if you, listen, criticize or disagree with a sodomite, a black, a white, a Jew, a lesbian, a disabled person. You better leave me alone. See these crutches? A Hispanic, the opposite sex, the American Indians, an Oriental person, or any ethnic group. You dare raise your objections against them, and if this thing is passed, you can be struck down under it. Getting messy, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Further, if I stand here and teach and preach, or Pastor Hardin, or these others who help us, if I stand in this pulpit and teach and preach to you from out of the Bible that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior, and therefore our Hindu friends and Muslim friends and Buddhist friends and others who do not know Him are lost and without God, if I stand and preach that Christ is the only Savior and those who do not have Christ are lost, I will be struck under the hate crimes law. I'm breaking the crime. Illustration. Our friends in the Southern Baptist. Some of you like to kick on them. Well, most of you independents have never done anything to be kicked on. Southern Baptist. Here's the article. They've just launched a mass campaign to give out books and tracts, to go everywhere, every big function, and to give out Christian literature in order to, quote, bring the unsaved out of their darkness of Hinduism and other religions to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now the Southern Baptist is in trouble with the feds for doing that. For doing that, Brother Page. Not only with the feds, major Jewish organizations, that fits. Liberal Christian groups, that fits. U.S. Hindu leaders accuse the Baptists of spiritual intolerance and bringing to pass hate crime infractions. Brother Mason is kind enough to bring me Jewish newspapers. Forward is one of the leading Jewish newspapers in America. Forward. Here it is. I read about 9 of them the other night and I put them back in the brown bag. I told my wife, she said, what about it? I said, it's full of hate to Christians.
Yes, sir.
To Christians. Here's one. July 16th, 99. Storm of anti-Jewish ads in the Times and on the radio stirs a wave of revulsion. And all the way through it, converted Jews who have found Christ as the Moshiach or the Messiah want other Jews to find Christ as the Moshiach or Messiah. So they're out giving out tracts, trying to bring others to Christ. And these unbelievers rise up and say, we've got to have a law to stop you from doing this. And they are said to be committing hate crime infractions of the law. Here's another one. I don't have time to read them. That's just a few. All right. There's another serious thing that will be protected by the hate crimes law. Not only witnessing for Jesus. Now, I want you to get this one now. Now, this is for the church especially and your church wherever you go. There's one serious issue protected by this hate crime law that's, I'll tell you where it is right now. Homosexuals are sodomites. Now, they prefer to be called gays. The Bible calls them sodomites. The Bible calls... Oh, I know that you don't respect the Bible. I know you don't. I do.
Amen.
Here I stand. Sodomites, homosexuals, and included within this dark circle are lesbians, bisexuals, pedophiles, transsexuals. You say, what does all that mean? I'll tell you what it means. Perversion, pal. That's what it means. Perversion.
Amen.
All of them will be protected by the hate crime laws, and you better keep your tongue off of them. Bit more. Now let's get home. Right now, as you know, the Kentucky General Assembly is in session. There's a piece of legislation, the work of Representative Kathy Stein, Democrat from Lexington. And it has gone before the Kentucky General Assembly to be put through their voting process. This Senate Bill 2-8, you've written it down on your paper, Senate Bill 2-8 requires, quote, that homosexuals, gays, lesbians, bisexuals, etc., etc., be recognized by state Kentucky law as a new class of citizens and respected as such. This is where you live. I'm just passing through. Not only that, they should be given protection by the laws of the state, and that's in Senate Bill 2-8. Now, boys and girls, you don't understand. Mommy will, for your welfare. You say, well, what does this protection mean if this thing goes through? It simply means if I take the Bible and stand up and preach to you that sodomy is wrong, and a perversion is wrong, and wicked and sinful, and God said it's wrong, and people who do it and not save from it go to hell, I can be arrested,
yes,
fined, sentenced, or I can be sent to prison. In March last year, seven cities in the state of Kentucky were visited by a thing called Rainbow Tours. Seven cities. Where'd they come from? Out from under the stumps and logs. They were sponsored and paid for in part by my tax dollars.
Yeah.
I tell you, Scott, that's what made me want to bite the head off of an elephant.
Yes,
right there. They were sponsored and paid for in part by an outfit in Washington, D.C., hold your nose, called the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force. They visited Henderson and Bowling Green and Berea, you know, a big school in Berea and a few other places. And what were they down here for? I'll tell you what they were down here for. They were breaking up the ground for Kathy Stein to write up the bill and stick it on the legislators' table. They were the forerunners preparing the way for the bill yet to come. That's exactly. You don't have to go to school but a year to find that out. You say, what were they doing? This bunch paid by tax dollars, sponsored by the gay lesbian front, brought down out here. What were they doing? Now listen to what they were doing. In the places they went, they put on art exhibitions, youth rallies, musical programs, and gay-friendly cultural events. That was the one in Lexington. I'll tell you one thing. They didn't come here to teach one young person to believe in Jesus Christ, the Bible, to live a moral, virtuous, pure, upright life, and to follow God. I challenge none of them came here to teach one young person that. Not a one of them. Not a one of them. Now, here's their agenda. Number one, legalizing same-sex marriages. That doesn't bother you. Oh, yeah? When your little boy or girl comes in with his mate.
Yes, sir.
Number two, adoption of children by same-sex couples. Three, homosexual sensitivity training and homosexual education in public school system as a part of the education. Well, they've almost got it anyhow. You say, well, they haven't succeeded. Ask anybody from New Jersey who keeps up with it. Haven't succeeded? In August last year, the New Jersey Supreme Court ruled that the Boy Scouts of New Jersey was a public accommodation, and as such, they could not prevent sodomites from becoming troop leaders.
That's right.
Even though The scout leadership tried to fight it and has tried to keep the sodomites out. By 1991, there were 400 cases of boys being molested in the Boy Scouts. Just a little bit more. Who's implicated in this monster that's risen on the political scene? Any business, civic, social, political, religious, or any other group, movement, organization, church, or individual who infractures any of the hate crime laws stands liable to arrest, fine, or imprisonment. Tony Fowler, the lesson you taught here this morning, you broke the hate crime law. If your enemy had been here, they would have you. To speak a word against these evil and wild practices or to refuse membership into a church or a civic organization of any of these people, we have broken the law. I wonder what the church is going to do when these people get together, deliberately plan it, and march down the aisles and apply for membership. What are you going to do? Well, I'll worry about when it happens. Yeah, standard Christian. Standard Christian. What are we going to do? Right here. Now, these people know they're protected by the law. In some cases, and sometimes many cases, tax dollars are used. And I want to tell you something. They're going to use this hate crime law or crimes law, sometimes it's plural, sometimes it's singular, to intimidate, gag, muzzle, and destroy the conservative, old-fashioned, true, sin-condemning, God-loving, hellfire-burning, heaven-joy teaching from the Bible. That's what they're going to do. In conclusion, Representative Kathy Stein's legislation, that's SB 28, you got it on the paper, is right now in the Kentucky State Assembly. I told you yesterday, you know, I got on this thing, I thought, phooey, I want to talk to somebody that's down there. Bro, I tracked her, I've called her at home. And they didn't want to let me talk to her, and I said, yes, we're going to talk. And so she talked, we talked 25 or 30 minutes, I told you, she phoned back three more times with helpful information. You know, helpful. All right? Now, Representative Kathy Stein's legislation is now in the Assembly. Now, here's what it calls for. It calls for the legitimization through the force of law of behaviors and practices that have been historically held as evil, wicked, and corrupt, violently immoral, and this law will make those who oppose these things criminals. Presently, Kathy's legislation. I can tell you where it is right now, unless the maid who swept the desk moved it. I can tell you where it is right now. It is on the desk of Gross Lindsay, chairman of the Judiciary Committee of the House. It's there right now. At least yesterday morning it was. All right. If this hate crime legislation has become law and is enforced, every true Christian, in this house, it will make you become a criminal or be quiet. Now, here's how they're going to present us, Tony. They're going to present us as the Timothy McVeighs on that hill down there. Because McVeigh, that demon-possessed lunatic, said, I believe the Bible. I'm a Christian. Only Jesus is the Savior. I love my country. We're not going to let these blinkety-blanks have this country. Okay? And because they presented that stance, then these devils in government have gotten a hold of it, and now they have tarred us all with the same brush, and they say, you're just like they are. The only difference, you haven't murdered anybody yet. And so, therefore, the law is across the board, and it will protect us innocents from you rabid, insane, conservative, Bible-thumping Christians. Goodbye, America. Almost. Just a bit more. We're going to be presented as the extremist. Already some of these newspapers are calling Christians the Fourth Reich. You old-timers know Hitler had the Third Reich. We are the Fourth Reich. What a statement. We're the modern-day Hitlerites. We're the Bible-packing skinheads. We're the narrow-minded fundamentalists and conservatives who dare believe. One of the senators here said, how in the world can educated good people in the Southern Baptist Convention be so dumb to believe that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world? That's what the senator said. And somebody sent him there. We're going to be presented as the dumb, narrow-minded fundamentalist who believe that Jesus Christ is the only Savior and God's book is the only divine revelation ever given to man. All the rest of them are rubbish. Democrat Kathy Stein and her kind write their laws and defy Almighty God in what He's declared. Kathy's day is coming.
Yes, sir.
Every liberal, Bible-denying, ecumenical-bent church program. Hey, you better watch where you go to church. Because a man preaches good doesn't mean a thing. Most of these preachers memorize 15 or 20 sermons, and they could preach it drunk in the pool room. Every liberal, Bible-denying, ecumenical-bent church person and organization will rise up in fierce opposition to what I've said on this tape. To what I've said on this tape, they're going to rise against me. I'm glad God is great in mercy and love. And I know the problem is a heart problem, not a body member problem. Let me close this way. These monstrous evils that I've been talking to you about briefly, they're casting a long, dark, deadly shadow over Kentucky and America. And they won't be corrected by voting somebody out or voting somebody in, though that should be done. People like Bill Clinton, Albert Gore, Ted Kennedy, John Glenn, on the national level and on the state level, like Kathy Steins and the self-confessed sodomite Ernesto Scorson, are our enemies as Christians. Now, I know most of you are going to run. Most of you are going to run like scared rabbits. I am telling you what's right. If they can get up and spout their mouth off and run down the truth, I hope somebody's got enough guts, if they have to stand on braces, to tell me the other side of the story, Bob Brown.
Yes, sir.
This past Friday night, Mom and I had what we consider a very distinguished family visiting in our home. And that man who's sitting here today made a statement that was profound, like I rarely ever heard across my dining room table. He said, Brother Pike, this is the gist of it. Two events have occurred in recent American history that signal the demise and collapse. Farewell, America. Number one, the O.J. Simpson trial. And number two, the impeachment, excuse me for cursing, the impeachment of President Clinton. Never have old-fashioned... I'm not talking about... Look, there are people that don't go to church, never picked up a Bible, don't know anything at all about God. There are people who don't know anything about God, and they would fight for what I'm telling.
Yes,
just good old-fashioned country bumpkins who've got enough morals to know yes is yes and no is no. You know, the outcome of the trial and the thing of Clinton was one of the biggest miscarriages. Look, if you don't like it, that's too bad. You'll like it one of these days. One of these days, you may want to come to my grave and kiss the stone. I'm telling you what's right. Now, don't worry, I'm about through. I know it's, what, 25 after. I thought you sung for 40 minutes. I'm going to preach for an hour. Okay. Tit for tat. We'll do it that way around here, won't we? Here's what Senator Elizabeth Torrey told me yesterday in our long conversation. And boy, I put some courteous questions to her. And I could tell when the temperature changed over the phone.
She said the hate crimes legislation is now in the hands of the House Judiciary Committee on the desk of Gross Lindsay, its chairman. I said, all right, how many is in that committee? She rattled off a few. I said, do you know the number? She didn't, so I don't know it. I haven't had time to look it up. I said, all right, what's their position? How many liberal, how many conservative, how many don't know what they are? And she said, well, Reverend, it falls out that about half are liberal, a half are conservative. I said, and if it passes through the House Judiciary Committee, I said, it goes to the full House, and if they pass it, it goes to the governor for signing. And if you think he's going to veto it, you need your head examined.
That's right.
you need to examine, I'm telling you. Boy, I'm telling you. Now, what can I do? I gave you the name of the law. I gave you the Senate bill. And I gave you a toll-free number. I've already called it three or four times. A toll-free number where you can call, and all you do, you brave, non-compromising Baptist who will charge hell with a water pistol, all you'll have to do when you call is talk to a machine. You won't even have to talk to a human. Isn't that amazing? All you have to do is talk to a machine, Frank. And all you have to do is say, machine? Really? Well, you know, machine.
Yeah.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
Machine, would you please relay to my congressman, my senator, my representative, that I require that everybody on the Judiciary Committee vote no and refuse this thing and kill it then and there, and that it never goes to the full House, and then if it's passed to the governor, and then we've had it. That's all you have to do. You wrote it down. Toll free, 1-800-372-7181, Hate Crimes Law, Senate Bill 28. That's all you have to do, Don, Sarge, Bob, Mrs. Brown, glad you're back. Terry, pull over to a payphone. That's all you have to do. You say, what good will that do? Now, I asked Senator Torrey, I said, Senator Torrey, will it pass? She said, I'm afraid it will. I said, Senator Torrey, what about the full House? I'm afraid it will. And then I said, Senator Torrey, did you vote for it? And she said, yes, I did. Okay? Okay? Some of you don't believe that, do you? Well, you're stupid. Have you talked to her? And I said, why? Why? She said, you would not believe the pressure that's put on me by ethnic groups and special class interest groups. She said, I'm in the hot seat, and we're all in the hot seat. And she said, the only option I had was to vote for it. Now, I'm in the hot seat this morning, preacher. Anybody want to step over here with me? Or how many of you are yellow? Somebody got a yellow streak down your back that wide. Some of you haven't. Farewell, America, almost. The crown is fallen from our head. We have sinned. Our heart is faint. Our eyes cannot see. Thank you. Please stand for prayer. Now, this has been a different approach today, and this is a one-time-in-a-lifetime thing for me, for sure. And you visitors, I hope you've understood it that way. If you haven't, then come to me, and I'll try to talk you into understanding it. Of course, you can't change a mind that's already made up. This is a one-time thing. Some of you people are in a state of shock. Some of you are stunned. Some of you don't like what I've said because I've touched on your favorite political petunia. But, folks, that's where we are right today. And while we're enjoying our services and our singing and our good messages and our fellowship and seeing a few people saved along the way, while we're doing that, this is what our politicians are looking at right now over here in the state capitol. All right, let's bow for prayer, shall we? I wonder if there should be one in this house this morning, and amid all this garbage that I've had to wade through and share with you and condense it down the best I could. I wonder if there are any of you here this morning and you say, well, Mr. Pike, there's an issue more important. I have never been saved. I do not know this one and only exclusive, unique Jesus Christ is my Savior. And I realize He's the only Savior, the only one that can save. And I do not know Him, but Mr. Pike, I do want to know Him. God, amid all this garbage, has spoken to my heart about my need for Christ. And I want Christ, and I want to be saved, and I'm concerned in my soul. Would you raise your hand and give me a wave and put your hand down right now? Thank you. And thank you. Anybody else? My word. And thank you. Well, who wouldn't believe it? What God can do. Anyone else? Anyone else?